not this week, but last week, had something really weird happen. I answered the phone as I always do. Hello, thank you for calling AutoZone. This is Mark. How can I help you? Nothing. I said, hello, this is AutoZone. This is Mark. How can I help you? And then this voice, a man's voice, goes, are you a pastor or something? And I said, no, I'm the commercial sales manager, not a pastor. And he goes, I'm sorry. I said, I just get this feeling talking with you and over the phone. And so I went ahead and I didn't think a whole lot of it. And I you know, put it away, and I got him his stuff and things he needed. And I told Tim about it later that day. We were over here with the praise and worship meeting. And I told him, I said, I was just kind of caught off guard. And he goes, well, that's a perfect opportunity. He was literally looking for you to pastor him. He said, on the phone, he said, are you a pastor or something? There was an opportunity there. You need, you know, ask him. Yeah, you had a job to do, Mark, and you did your job, and I'm sure you did it very well. But right there was an opportunity. And I thought to myself, darn it. You know, it was staring me in the face, and I missed an opportunity to do something. I did. Well, lo and behold, Thursday, man walks in the door, walks up to somebody and says, is Mark here? Jennifer said, yeah, he's right down there. I was down by my commercial counter. And this man walks up to me and said, are you Mark? And I said, yes. And he said, I'm the man that talked with you last week and said, I thought you were a pastor. And he said, I just wanted to shake your hand. And I shook his hand. And I said, can we pray together? And he said, absolutely. And we stood right there behind the commercial counter praying in front of the whole stinking store. And I'm thinking to myself, I didn't miss that opportunity. I didn't let that one slip by. But it was a lesson for me. And I learned a lesson well. And we can't miss an opportunity. And I did. And I'm never going to do it again. I can promise you that. So that is my testimony for the week. How powerfully he moves. How powerfully. You know, I didn't know that guy. I didn't know him from Adam. And he didn't know me. And all he heard was my voice on the phone. And my voice on the phone, with God doing, working something, caused him a week later to walk into the store and seek me out. People need him. Remember when I gave that message a while back and I said that water is longing to be walked on again. People everywhere are needing him badly. And when we bottle him up in here and keep him for ourselves, we're wasting him. We got to put him out there in everything we do, in everything we do.
I have a message that the Lord put on my heart. And I'm not sure how we're going to approach this today, because it's going to tie in the idea of laying hands on people. And I have some germ killing stuff on the front pew there that I sprayed my hands with. You know, it's kind of one of those times when, do you really want to lay hands on people when you're all, you know, on the verge of sneezing and everything else? But I want to talk to you today about being filled with the Spirit. So my message title is Fill Her Up. And Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18. Are you there? Get there if you can. Some of you can get there quicker than others because you just punch a couple little buttons and pops right up. I'm actually reading this out of the New Century Version. Just because of the way it was written, I thought it was kind of interesting. Verse 18 says, do not be drunk with wine, which will ruin you, but be filled with the Spirit. The King James Version says, which is dissipation. Do not be filled with wine, which is dissipation. How many of you have been dissipated lately? You know, it's not a word we commonly use anymore. Alcohol is a sedative. Most drugs fall under categories, and the main two categories are stimulants and sedatives. It's designed to relax you. And I know a lot of people who like to get relaxed with a glass of wine. And I don't think that's a big deal. I don't think it's something we need to get all nervous about and worried about. The German people, as you've heard me mention, they were big on beer. Martin Luther would have 50 young men at his house once a week for Bible study. And his wife made beer. And they would all have a beer in the Bible. And culturally, that was acceptable. Anybody think that God maybe doesn't want you to relax? Is being relaxed okay? I think God wants us to relax. But there is a place of rest that's beyond the natural. There is a level of rest and peace that you can't get out of a bottle or out of any kind of sedative. And some of you remember a few weeks ago, I shared with you that the medical community, the science community, has now embraced the idea that probably a glass of wine to help you fall asleep will help you fall asleep, but it also will affect your sleep so that you don't get as good a sleep. You don't go through the four stages of regular sleep, and you don't get into REM sleep properly if you use alcohol before bed. So the science behind it is try not to do that. A lot of people are going to ignore that, and that's fine. I don't want us to miss out on the supernatural because of something in the natural. And I really think that's what this verse is about. There's a tendency to think, well, this will work. I can use this to get something. But God has something maybe better. And I think sometimes we need to think about that. D.L. Moody declared that God commands us to be filled with the Spirit. And if we are not filled, it's because we are living beneath our privileges. That's an interesting thought. In a time in our culture where to be privileged is almost evil, I think sometimes God wants us to have certain privileges, and he wants us to live within those privileges. One of those is being filled with the Spirit. So I have a question. Do we believe that most of the American church is living below the privilege level that God has for them? Might even ask if most of this church is living day to day below the privilege level that God has for us. And that privilege is to be filled with the Spirit. We call ourselves Spirit-filled in our circle of Christianity sometimes. Because, you know, a lot of us have the gifts of the Spirit flowing in us, speaking in tongues and prophecy and words of knowledge and all those things. We believe in those. We want to see those manifest. And I believe that God does want to see those manifest. I'm not going there today either. But I like to go there. I probably will this year again at some point. The reality is that being filled with the Spirit is not dependent on whether or not the gifts manifest. In Luke chapter 1 and verse 41, Elizabeth, the expectant mother of John the Baptist, runs into Mary. And when she runs into Mary and the baby leaps inside of her because it recognizes Messiah in the body of Mary, it says that Elizabeth is filled with the Spirit. And she begins to say some beautiful things. Here's a question for us, though. Was Elizabeth filled with the Spirit? This Elizabeth that was filled with the Spirit at the time, was she born again? Was she a born again believer? That's an interesting thing to just think about. I mean, Jesus had not yet completed the new covenant that was necessary for people to have a born-again experience. And yet somehow she was filled with the Spirit. There were other people in the Old Testament that talked about had the Spirit come upon them or that they were filled, depending on how the thing is translated. Also, in the upper room after Jesus' resurrection, Jesus walks in. The covenant now has been established through his blood. And he walks in on a bunch of disciples. And he breathes on them. And says, be filled with the Spirit. How many think they were filled with the Spirit when Jesus said, be filled with the Spirit? I think so. And then he says, but you're not done yet. Wait in Jerusalem until the Spirit comes. Well, wait a minute. I thought they had the Spirit. See, I personally believe that they were filled with the Spirit. He breathed the Spirit into them, and they became eternal beings. They were born again at that moment. It's interesting that God breathed life into Adam. Jesus breathed life into his disciples. And they had new life. So it's a powerful thing. And yet, it didn't, no gifts were manifest at that moment. So there's this thing being filled with the Spirit that doesn't necessarily mean we have gifts. Sometimes we think that the gifts of the Spirit and being filled with the Spirit are the same thing. But, you know, God is really not very boxy. He doesn't like being put in a box. I like God to be in my theological box so I can know what he's going to do. And he doesn't like being in the theological box, and he does stuff that I didn't expect him to do. Dang. Because I like being in control. How many of you know that's true about all of us to a degree? We just want everything to fit. And when it doesn't, we have a fit. Being filled with the Spirit, then, is not the same as being born again or the same as manifesting the gifts. Still, we do often see gifts manifest when people are filled with the Spirit. If you want to check that out, Acts chapter 10, verse 44 and 19, verse 6. So there is this filling of the Spirit that happens when the gifts come. Oh, Acts chapter 2, they were filled with the Spirit, and then they began to speak in tongues. I mean, this is normal that when the Spirit is filling you, stuff can happen. And sometimes you're filled with the Spirit and you just get bolder, like it says in Acts chapter 4. So there's all these things that go with being filled with the Spirit, but they don't necessarily have to be there when you're filled with the Spirit. Our text today, then, is directing us to be filled with the Spirit on a regular basis. One person said it this way, be ye being filled with the Spirit. Just keep it happening. Keep going after that. And we are also being told to not allow ourselves to be distracted from that endeavor to be filled with the Spirit. Don't let something in the natural that, you know, could be used in a proper way maybe for your benefit, but still isn't, and drunk isn't really even close. Don't go there. Be filled with the Spirit. By the way, I think the reason he used that example is because he was familiar with people who were drunk in the Spirit. It happens too. Been there, done that. Laid on the floor. Couldn't get up. So we don't want something in the natural to have that has the potential of a negative effect to keep us from something in the supernatural that is intended to have a very positive effect. That's the important part of this. And I want to be filled with the Spirit as much as I can. Let me ask you this too. I just thought this thought came to me. Is it easier to get filled with wine than it is to get filled with the Spirit? Well, I mean, sometimes maybe we feel that way. You know, I got this fridge over here and there's something in it, and all I have to do is walk over there and tilt that puppy up. That's pretty easy. Of course, if there's no, you know, if you don't have a stash someplace handy, and you know you're going to have to walk miles to get it, maybe you just go, come on, Holy Spirit. And it might be easier. In fact, I think it's meant to not be harder. To do things in the Spirit is not meant to be harder than to do them in the natural, necessarily. Listen to the commentary that I found on Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18. I want to read this to you. The present tense describes the ideal situation of every saint. He says, ideal situation. Is an ideal something we can't attain? Just a thought. I think maybe it's more attainable than... Sometimes we think something's ideal and therefore we don't think we can have it. Maybe we can have it more than he thinks. But he says, the ideal situation of every saint. The command is plural so as not to just a select few. So he's looking at the original language. This isn't just for, you know, Pastor Tim, he's a saint. And then some other people ain't. Sometimes we have that, you know, that kind of connotation that, again, goes along with being supposedly, you know, trained and prepared and all that. As being continual, not just an experience on certain occasions. That's another thing about the way this is written. Not just something that happens once in a blue moon. To be continually filled. Keep on being filled or being kept filled would be a proper way to translate it. Filling is not a one-time event. In fact, the present tense aspect of the command indicates that we are not to rely on past filling nor in expectation of future filling, but we can live only in present tense or continual filling. Did you get that? Being filled is a command that includes the idea of conscious continuation. Being filled with the Holy Spirit is not an option for believers, but a mandate. Well, I know what he's trying to say there, but the fact of the matter is, I found it to be optional. Shouldn't be. But I haven't always looked at it as though I could be. I mean, most of us have been brought up, if we've been brought up in Christianity at all, with more of a feeling that it is optional or occasional or irregular or undefinable in some ways. And, you know, we get this thing that goes with us where we're kind of having this feeling like, well, you know, I'm doing my best, but I can't really expect to do that good. What if you could? What if I could? I know one thing for sure. We're not going to get there by not trying. Like, by thinking we can't, won't. I like this conscious continuation idea. If we are consciously aware of the Spirit, and if we are focused on continuing in it, then perhaps we can walk in the Spirit the way that Paul talks about in Romans chapter 8. For time's sake, I won't go there. But it's good. Read it sometime. So yesterday's filling is not enough. Tomorrow's filling isn't here yet. We need today's filling in order to move into Spirit today. And we need to be thinking along those lines that we want to be filled with the Spirit. But I'm not sure that we've been encouraged, taught, focused, educated, trained, equipped to go after the Spirit every day. You know, Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God. And I think sometimes we think that means stick your head in a Bible or go to a meeting. It could mean any number of things, but I think really the kingdom of God is found in the Spirit. And if we were filled with the Spirit, we'd know when to stick our head in a Bible and when to go to a meeting and everything else that goes with it, as long as we're conscious of the Spirit. So, what would it look like? And what does it look like when we fail to stay filled with the Spirit? As people, we often use our understanding to make determinations about spiritual things. I have a question. Does that really work? And does it work the way we think it does? Scripture tells us that spiritual things are spiritually discerned. 2 Corinthians 2:14. I almost said just 2:4. 2:14. Oh, I'm sorry. 1 Corinthians 2:14. All right, I'll get it in a minute. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Oh. So a lot of the things I'm trying to figure out can't be figured out without the Spirit. And the more filled with the Spirit that I am, the more they'll make sense, not in the natural, but the more they'll make sense. In a supernatural way. Wow. supernatural things are not things that we can fully appreciate academically. And I have to say there are a lot of very academic believers in this world. And they spend a lot of time with their theology and trying to have their theology straight and having their theology figured out and knowing all that. And I just wonder what would happen if we put as much energy into trying to just be filled with the Spirit and not have it all figured out. What would happen to this world? I think what would happen to this world is the weird stuff, like Mark testified to earlier. Having somebody call him out of the blue and say, "Are you a pastor?" when he's behind the counter at work. What if we just got so filled with the Spirit that instead of having to go find people to minister to, people would find us to be ministered to? "Oh, I don't know that I could ever do that, Pastor Tim." No, you couldn't. You never will. But you could get filled with the Spirit, and that could trigger everything. Spiritual things have to be experienced. Spiritual things are meant to be felt more than just faith. Faith is supposed to lead us to the place where something happens and we have these things take place that we can no longer deny because they just keep happening. And everything is upside down compared to the world sometimes when we're walking in the Spirit, when we're filled with the Spirit. And being filled with the Spirit isn't something that's filled or experienced primarily in our mind. It's experienced in our spirit, spirit to spirit, our spirit to His Spirit. Romans 8:16 says, "The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirits that we are the children of God." You don't know that you're a child of God here in your head. You know that you're a child of God here in your heart. And while we should renew our minds, that renewal does not make our minds the center of spiritual understanding. Let me say that again. While it's important to renew your mind, the renewal of your mind does not make your mind the center of spiritual understanding. Because sometimes it doesn't go with my mind. It makes no sense to my mind. Even the renewed mind sometimes is having a hard time because it doesn't do the math maybe the way we're used to it doing the math. The Spirit begins to move in the mind of a man because the Spirit's already moving in his heart. So we get filled with the Spirit, and that it affects how we think. Does this make sense to anybody but me? Okay, I see some heads nodding. You're going, "Okay, good." So we must endeavor to stay in the Spirit, because when we're not endeavoring to stay in the Spirit, well, somebody says, "You're in the Spirit, you're out of your mind." Better than in my mind sometimes. And by the way, we're not the only generation to have done this. This is actually in the Scripture. It's common for human beings to start in the flesh, or start in the Spirit, and then try to finish in the flesh. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 3 says, "Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, that you are now made perfect by the flesh?" Paul talking to the Galatians. I like it in the New Living Translation. He says, "How foolish can you be after starting your Christian lives in the Spirit? Why are you now trying to become perfect by your own human effort? You can't. You won't. You're not going to. Don't worry about it. Just try to get more of that Spirit inside of you." "Yeah, but I do this and I do that." Don't worry about it. Get more of the Spirit inside of you. "Yeah, but you don't know how I know how you are. You're like me." Stop it. Get more of the Spirit inside of you. That's the way you are. You're like me. I know a lot of things. I just don't always do them. But when I'm walking in the Spirit, when I'm full of the Spirit, when I'm excited about the Spirit, I don't even know what I'm doing sometimes, but it turns out really good. There's been times when I was full of the Spirit and I heard myself say something and I thought, where the heck did that come from? And then I realized it didn't come from heck. It came from heaven, and I was like, whoa. And then God did something that I didn't expect him to do. I've told this story many times, but one day I found myself saying, somebody back here is having trouble breathing. And I look out the end of my arm, and there are two guys sitting there, and one goes to our church, and one's his friend who he just brought to church for the first time. He told me he was bringing him, and that guy had just experienced congestive heart failure. And I thought, you're pointing and you're saying that. Why did you say that, dummy? It looks like, you know, this guy's going to think that you were told by this other guy, and then the other guy, you know, it won't look like God was speaking at all. The other guy got up. The member of our church got up, walked up, and I prayed for him, and he got nothing at that moment, it seemed like. But 6 months later, you know the story, he told me that he was completely healed of lung cancer. It's crazy. He couldn't go outside in cold weather like this or really hot days. He had to go just spring and fall on nice days. He could go outside, get in the car, come to church. Name's Vern Ankeny. You want to look him up. He's still around. He was expected to have a very short life, and he's been alive now since that time. It was 15 years ago, something like that. Sometimes when we're filled with the Spirit, we don't know what we're doing. But the Spirit knows what he's doing. And it's exciting. So our human effort comes up short. That being said, here's the good news. God doesn't ask us to do something that he knows we can't do. If God says, be being filled with the Spirit, it's because he believes that you can be being filled with the Spirit. And that being filled with the Spirit will make your life better. A whole lot better than being drunk, that's for sure. God's heart for us is that we actually experience an amazing life where we walk in the Spirit, live in the Spirit, dwell in the Spirit. Excuse me. 1 Corinthians 2, 9 through 10 says, but as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has it entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. He didn't reveal them to us through our great ability to read. Most of the early church couldn't read. How in the world did they do the things that they did when they couldn't read? They did them through the Spirit. So how do we stay filled with the Spirit? I thought you'd never ask. I think that it really is just something simple that I'll say is just give place to the Spirit. The Holy Spirit needs a place to move into. We need to look, and when we feel like there's not Holy Spirit in that place, some place, any place, in our place, we need to say, Holy Spirit, come. Ephesians 4:27 says something interesting. It says, neither give place to the devil. Now, that's kind of a strange verse to throw right in the middle of all this, I suppose. But if you can give place to the wrong spirit, do you suppose it's possible to give place to the right spirit? Of course. In Matthew 9:24, we read these words, Jesus speaking, and he said to them, give place, for the maid is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn. Yeah, I used the King James Version there. Could you tell? Sleepeth. They needed to give place to what Jesus was about to do. They need to make room, as it says in other versions. The New King James says, make room, for the girl's not dead, but sleeping. Make room. Get out of the way. Give me some room here. I think the Holy Spirit's just looking for us to give him some room. Just give him some room. Like, is that really that hard? Just come on, Holy Spirit, I'm going to give you some room. Just here you go. Where do you want to go? Whatever you want to do. I'm just going to give you some room. But sometimes we're so focused on doing our regular stuff that we don't see the opportunities for God to do stuff in the middle of our stuff. Like maybe right in the middle of our stuff, God's up to something. And if we'd make room for the Spirit to do something that's unexpected, the Spirit would joyfully do something unexpected. And God would get glory. You know, Mark, I'm glad we had that conversation. Who knew that that fellow was going to come back in? Who knew that the opportunity was going to be there for you to pray for him? That was crazy good. It's just like that. That can happen and should happen and will happen and has happened to many of us. I believe God wants to do the more that we've been asking for, and all we need to do is just make room, or if you will, get out of the way. Yeah, I heard years ago some preacher was talking about a woman. She was always singing, "I'm in the way, the bright and shining way." And he says, "Yeah, but the problem is you're in the way. Get out of the way." God wants to do something. So how do I know that I'm filled with the Spirit? And how do I know when I need a refill? Well, for a lot of us, me kind of included, that would probably be, 23.9 out of 24 hours I need to refill. You know, I need to be going after this. Because I think we've had kind of a misunderstanding in what we've been doing. We do get awful busy with our lives, don't we? I don't know about you, but I got a lot of stuff going on. Stuff. Lots of stuff. And it's kind of like I got to get this done so I can get to church. I got to get this done so I can go do this. Or I got to get this done so I can have some time to pray. Or there's a guy named Brother Lawrence, if you ever read about him. Everything he did was as unto the Lord. And he brought the presence of the Lord into everything that he did. So whether he was doing, you know, morning prayers, or whether he was doing laundry, or whether he was doing dishes. They said it was like being in church. Wherever you were at with him, whatever he was doing, it was still like being in church. I think that's more doable than sometimes even I believe. And I'm the one preaching this today. So I don't want you to get the idea that I've got this all figured out yet, because I don't. I've heard some preachers say, "Well, until you figure something out, don't preach it." Oh my goodness, they shouldn't preach anything. They don't really have it figured out. None of us do. This is an encouragement today, not a discouragement. This isn't, "You people, why don't you be filled with the Spirit more?" That's not it. It's, what if we could be filled with the Spirit more? This could be amazing. Like, well, yeah, but I've been pretty, you know, I'm 23 out of 24 hours. Let's go for all 24. Let's go for every minute and every second and every part of every day. Let's be filled with the Spirit when we're sleeping. Somebody walks in our room to rob us, and in our sleep, we talk to him. The good stuff is in that drawer over there if you're really hurting for money. However, Jesus loves you, and he wants you to save your soul. Wouldn't that be fun? In Acts chapter 9, verse 17, a man named Ananias laid hands on Paul, and he was healed, and, it says, filled with the Spirit. Paul also laid hands on people throughout his ministry. For example, Acts chapter 19, Paul laid hands on a bunch of disciples that he found in Ephesus, and they received the Holy Spirit, it says. And they had the gifts of the Spirit manifest as well. He also instructed Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 1 to stir up the gift which had been given by the laying on of hands. So, let's read that. 2 Timothy 1, 6 and 7. Now, here's something important. Most of you know, I've written a book on fear, and I'm big on, you know, that's my favorite verse. One of my life verses is 2 Timothy 1, 7. God has not given us a spirit of fear. It's on my wife's license plate on the van, 2 Timothy 1, 7. But look at 6 and 7 together. Because for years, I kind of preached one or preached the other, but I didn't preach them together. They fit together very nicely. Verse 6, therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Now, some of you know we were connected for years with Calvary Ministries out of Fort Wayne. And Dr. Paul Pano, a man of God who did a lot, and a lot of people came to the Lord under his ministry. Great, great things were done. He used to say there are many fillings because there are many leaks. Well, I think I get that. I'm more holy than I want to be sometimes. Sometimes we just need to take time to get stirred up and filled up again. And that's what this says. Stir up the gift of God which is in you. The stir here is not like sediment in the bottom of a glass. The stir is like stirring the ashes in a fire that has gone down. And when you stir it, oxygen gets to the fire and it roars up again. That's exactly what this means in the original language. So how do I know that I'm filled with the Spirit? And how do I know when I need a refill? Well, this verse does say several things that we will have when we are stirred up. It says we will have power and love and a sound mind. See, those two are connected. Those two verses are connected. If we're stirred up, then we won't have a spirit of fear. That's what we won't have. But instead, we will have a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. Right away, if I have become a nervous Nelly, if I'm feeling not so confident, that might be an indication that I need to just stop and go, come Holy Spirit, fill me. Come on, fill me up, Lord. Oh, I need more. Everybody point your hands this way. Say, fill him up, Lord. Oh, I'll take that. Sometimes we just need to get stirred up, filled up. This is good information, by the way, not condemnation. It's good information, not condemnation. I want to make sure you understand that. If we are not fully experiencing power, love, and a sound mind, it's not like God is like, well, then never mind. You're not worth messing with. No, he wants us to come into greater levels of all those things, to greater levels of power, to greater levels of love, and to greater levels of a mind that isn't going nuts. So when we experience these things, we just need to say to ourselves, I think I need a fill-up. Fill her up, Lord! I do believe that Jesus walked full of the Spirit all the time. I do believe he did. And I don't believe that Paul was full of the Spirit all the time. But I believe he recognized the need to be filled with the Spirit. Paul was honest about who he was. He said, not that I have attained, but I press forward to reach the mark of the high calling in Christ Jesus. It's something I'm trying to attain. It's something I'm reaching for. He admitted at the beginning of 2 Corinthians that there was a time when they thought they had come to the end of everything and they were full of fear. Read chapter 1 of 2 Corinthians. They went through a dark season. And I get that. We all have those dark moments, those battles, and that's when we need to again say, okay, but what does God have for me? Fill her up, Lord! More! I've heard people say, you can't ask for more, God's given you all of it. I know. Theologically, that sounds really good. But it's all there. That doesn't mean I've appropriated it all. There's so many ways to look at these things, and sometimes we get so busy looking at them that we haven't taken the time to just go, more, Lord. fill me up, God. I see that I'm not where I should be at this moment. He was instructing Timothy to go for something. Go for it, Timothy. I like that name, Timothy. I feel like I need to go for it sometimes. I think we need to live up to the level that we are privileged to have in Christ. Not to need to do it so that it'll make God happy. God wants us to do it so we'll live happy.